B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Man, I just want to say happy Valentine's Day. Every day the 14th. Can y'all dig that? Now, when arrows don't penetrate, see.
Cupid press the pistol.
Now look at here, he shoots straight for your heart. Now, and he won't miss you. Well, that's all right. Y'all won't believe in me anyway, but...
Look how excited you are. Happy Valentine's Day, Trey. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, Bob.
You too, Mark.
Happy Valentine's Day, Trey. Sam.
Thanks, you too.
Sam's the only one that you look at right now, and you're like, oh, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I wore pink.
You were a lovely shade of pink.
Wait, what did you wear? I didn't see it. Let me see.
Pink.
Oh, nice.
Did you really not see it?
I talked this morning, but I don't think I've seen you yet.
Anybody that ever wears pink, pink pops.
It does.
Pink pops, baby.
Yes.
And that pops. Happy Valentine's Day, Samantha.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Is this going to be the only Valentine's Day that you're engaged? Are you going to be married by next year?
Yeah, this is my first one. No, next year. We're getting married November 2021.
November 2021.
Yeah, so next November.
Have you booked a place where you're having the wedding at?
Yes, we have. We put our down
good. All right.
Thank goodness.
That's always something good to do after you get engaged,
Sam. That's a nice thing. Sometimes people try to rush it, ends up getting, all
I don't think that ever works out.
No, it's terrible sometimes.
That's
terrible.
Not good.
It's absolutely terrible sometimes.
Horrible.
But happy Valentine's Day. Our man Kush is already telling me that he loves me on Twitter. It's Valentine's Day. So I hit him back with, I like you too.
There we go.
Because now people are trying to, based on the show we did last week, I believe it was, where we talked about saying I love you, like Andy Reid texted you, I love you.
Yeah.
And you were like, good.
Wait a minute.
What do I say to this?
Yeah.
Well, generally speaking, if you love the man, you say love you too.
I did say I love you too. I did. It just took a little while.
We never confirmed. Did you start that text message back to Andy Reid with, sorry, just seeing this, love you too?
No, I just jumped right on in. Just ripped the band-aid off. Hey, man, love you too.
Good man.
Love you too, coach.
So I just hit Kush back with, I like you.
Okay.
Oh, that's it? I like you?
Yeah.
It's hard for you to say, isn't it?
What?
I love you.
No, it's easy for me to say. When I mean it.
Yeah, see, he's got all these damn rules.
What do you mean rules?
Yeah, like, all right,
you just
your
go
brother. When you see your brother, like, maybe one time, and you give him the man hug goodbye, is ever like, all right, love you.
No,
take care.
My brother and I don't even do a man hug goodbye.
See,
my brother and I, I'm not even kidding you. You know the scene at the end of Step Brothers when the two brothers hug?
Yeah.
That's how my brother and I usually say
goodbye. That's how awkward it is?
We try to imitate, if not make it more awkward when we say goodbye.
Wow.
My brother and I are a couple of goofballs.
I'm easy with the I love you.
Yes, you are.
Freely. Like my boys from high school that, you guys know I still hang with after so many years. We hug each other and we say love you all the time. Sometimes there's some kissing from the Italians. Yep, one of Lascalzo, kiss her.
He comes
and sees us, he kisses.
You know what? The first time that happened to me one time is up here.
What, kissed you?
Yeah. The kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
And
was it two kisses or was it just one on the cheek?
Both cheeks.
Yeah.
So this is like my, I think, rookie, first or second year. And I'm off in the shadows of the city, I say.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, deep in the shadows of the city.
Spreading God's word.
No, but just hanging out, just off in the cut, where you wouldn't normally see someone such as myself, and just off in the shadows of the city. And there's just one dude that was in there that didn't look like everybody else. And he was just sitting at the bar, just chilling, just hanging out by himself. And he came up to me and he introduced himself. And he's like, hey, Trey, man, hey, nice to meet you. And he hit me with the kisses on the cheek. And I'm like, all right.
Was this gentleman Italian?
I would assume.
It can catch you off guard.
Yeah.
It can be being caught off guard.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at a bar probably about a year ago, and we still laugh at this, and my friend Rocabaldo, another nice Italian, he comes walking into the side, and he comes to say hi, and I go to turn to say hi. Well, he was going to kiss my cheek, and I turned right at the right time. Our lips met. Yeah, we laugh. We still laugh our asses off to this day about it. Like, we kissed on the lips.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff right there.
It wasn't good. But anyway, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
On that note, now that we just ruined everyone's Valentine's Day. That's a beautiful thing.
Did we just go a little too far?
A little bit.
Okay.
But that's all right. It's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. You're playing the music trays. He's getting us to the moon and all that stuff. All of a sudden, we're kissing everybody.
Yeah, we got a couple tracks on there, man. We might, you know, light some candles up in here. And get
you said that.
Baby oil. It's gonna get real sexy.
You got up from your desk over there, our workstations, our prep areas, if you will, and you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna have to light the candle up in here." And I was like, "I honestly was like, did you break a wind?
No."
And I was like, "No, you're about to. It's like it's gonna get sexy.
Just a little sexy.
Nah, I'm not." Yeah, I consider myself a very comfortable human being. I'm a little uncomfortable now.
It's all right.
What direction are we going? So are you playing your top Valentine songs today?
Just a couple. Just break them in there.
Bob, do you have a couple as well?
I do. I have my top five love songs of all time.
That's good. It's very good. Uh-huh. Sam, what's the song that you look at and go, love is in the air?
You know, I should have thought about this before. I don't know off the top of my
head. There's not one song that jumps to mind? Like, I think the standard is Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On. Like, you hear the first couple of
Marvin Gaye songs in my top five.
Oh, really? The first couple of notes of that, it's like, it's on.
Yeah.
Like, you hear that, and it's just like, everyone, it's sex time.
Yeah.
Trey's calling the mattress place. Not long after.
All right, Sam, you mull that over for a minute or two, because there's one area today where there will be no love. There is one area today where love is banished on this fine Valentine's Day. And that is in the area of sports, to which we will talk about the Houston Astros. And I thought our friend Kevin Negandhi summed it up rather well on Twitter, which is basically, if you are in a PR class, if you're majoring in public relations or marketing or anything like that, watch what the Astros did yesterday and do the opposite of that. That was a dog and pony show, to say the absolute least about it. That was embarrassing, and not just for the Houston Astros, for Major League Baseball. Trey, you played in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
The league has to let you know who's in charge. The league has to hold people accountable, and Major League Baseball did nothing. I know that people are going to be ripping the Astros throughout today, and they are certainly going to get ripped, but I still can't believe the greater story here is that these guys are going to get away with it. All throughout the apologies yesterday, I was thinking to myself, okay, so they're apologizing. They're saying the words. Whether they mean it or not, I don't care. Whether people want to react to their apology, was it sincere? Was it not sincere? Was it sincere enough? Like, to me, I don't care. I don't care if you're sorry or not, because it doesn't matter. There's no punitive action taken on the players. The guys that were actually involved, the guys that this benefited the most, the guys who, by the way, robbed the most, the other players on the other teams, like the Dodgers, for instance, and this might be the only time I ever take up a case for the Dodgers, but nonetheless, you mean to tell me that all the players involved who orchestrated this from start to finish, you mean to tell me nothing happens to these guys? They get away with, all right, next, Jose Altuve comes up to the podium. I'm really sorry about this. Thank you. Next, you have Alex Bregman come up. Hey, sorry about this. Next, Josh Ray. Like, are you really? That's it? And Justin Verlander talking about it in the clubhouse. Jim Crane, the owner, being like, well, we just feel like it didn't impact the game. Because it didn't impact the game, and we move on from it. You don't get to decide there, tons of fun, what time when we move on from this.
Crane came off as a stone-cold ass.
You'll see it. Like today, you probably saw it already yesterday. It's on social media. He comes out and says this did not impact the game.
Yeah.
So then they open it up to this is where you can't make this up.
Yeah.
Then they open it up to questions. Reporter, excuse me, did you just say this didn't impact the game? Because it totally did. Did you just say it didn't impact the game? Jim Crane said, I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Yeah, you did.
What?
Yeah, you did. 58 seconds earlier, you did say exactly that.
It was awful. And when a player says, and we'll move on from it, like, you don't, if you're the one that's wrong, you don't get to determine the amount of time somebody has to move on from it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that if you did something wrong and somebody brings it up to you a couple hundred times, maybe by the 101, you're like, hey, when can we move on from this? But at least you just ask the question. You don't tell somebody, hey, by the way, you're done reacting to this story where I messed up. I thought it was embarrassing for all of Major League Baseball. And when I say Major League Baseball, I don't mean all the players, like the Players Association. I mean the MLB and the people that run that show. And Manfred, Commissioner Manfred, the investigation they did, good on him for doing the investigation, but if he's really promising these guys immunity for coming forward, like, I don't understand how you get away with this. You're talking about guys that got banned from baseball. Mostly because, well, not mostly, but because they threw a World Series for gambling purpose in 1919.
Right.
Now you can say that's 101 years ago, but still, it's still baseball. Guys that won't be able to even scratch baseball throughout their legacies now, throughout their history now, you have these guys that are involved, and now you have a Houston Astros organization that cheated, won a World Series, won a lot of games, and now we're washing our hands of it. Everything's fine. Oh, you said you're sorry? No problem. It was a perfect example yesterday for me of why sometimes adults really never progress the thought process of past children. Like, this was literally a podium on stage where they rolled guys out to say how sorry they were. And then once they walked off that stage, all right, baseball as usual.
Yeah, and I'm listening to Crane talk yesterday, and you know, even though I've covered games and owners and all that for all my life, you kind of put owners in a higher regard. All right, these guys are multimillionaires, billionaires in some cases. They have to be extremely smart in what they do and how they got there and all. And then he comes out and speaks the way he spoke yesterday, and you're thinking, this guy somehow is smart enough to have made millions upon millions of dollars to own a baseball team? I mean, he couldn't have sounded more disingenuous and, quite frankly, more stupid than he did yesterday. Yesterday's press conference, it appeared to me like they weren't told about it until yesterday morning.
It came off smug.
Yeah, it came off, you know, I said this morning, his sorry was littered with sorry we got caught.
Yeah.
Not sorry that we ruined the game. Sorry we got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't take anything from them.
No.
So, all right, you're like, all right, hey, yeah, just go out there and say I'm sorry. You're not taking away the championship. You're not taking away their rings. You know, you're not taking away their incentive bonuses that they've made, especially from the players, since none of the players are getting punished. So, you know what? You say, all right, we're going to fine the organization $5 mil. I happily pay that $5 mil.
Yeah.
For all the money that you're going to make off of merchandise and everything else that you're making off of this scandal.
Yeah.
All right.
Picks, money, they had to fire the manager and the GM. And meanwhile, the owner just sits up there on his high horse. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, everybody. Hey, mi scusi. Lo siento. Sorry. And then they get to turn the page on it just like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, retribution's going to come now in a way that Major League Baseball probably doesn't want it to come. Because if Major League Baseball would have done the proper thing and properly penalized the Houston Astros, which I think is the players, is taking away this season, don't let them be able to compete in the postseason, all of that stuff. Had they done that, okay, retribution is gotten. But now they didn't. So now it falls upon the players to police this. And you better watch out, because you're going to have a lot of pissed off players, especially guys that throw 100 miles an hour, and a guy comes up to the plate and, oh yeah, I remember you tagged me for a couple home runs when they were banging trash cans. Don't think a lot of people aren't going to take this into their own hands.
Oh,
and it might get ugly.
Okay.
And so, baseball's weird like that.
Yeah.
Weird or ballsy?
Yeah. They, you know, I've never seen guys hold a grudge like baseball players.
Oh, it's a gift they have. I mean, there's two gifts baseball players have. One, hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Two, throwing baseballs at people's faces.
Yeah.
It's pretty, holding a grudge, obviously. But Major League Baseball just implemented the three batter rule, right? You got to face three batters.
Yeah.
Does that count when the pitcher gets thrown out for hitting the first batter if they're playing the Astros? I was thinking about that.
That guy's
going to get thrown out. So if I'm the Dodgers, for instance, I'm bringing somebody from the bullpen to start the game, hit the first batter, or at least wait for Bergman, whoever it might be, or Altuve, right? And they get plunked, and it's like, all right, well, you didn't face three batters, but you're getting ejected. That's what's going to happen.
Because nothing else
happened to these players.
Yeah, watch how many times this year an anonymous bullpen guy or somebody will get called up just as a series against the Astros is about to start. You know, the Dodgers have called up Mark Farzetta for this weekend series against the Astros. Everybody's like, He's got like a 9 ERA in Double A. Yeah, but he throws 100.
Yeah, right.
He has, you know?
Mark Forzetta hasn't pitched since fourth grade.
Yeah.
And he walked nine
batters. He throws 100. He knows how to hit people. So, yeah, we'll bring him up.
I could probably do that. Yeah. I know this. The safest place is to stand on the plate. That's what I can tell you. But nothing has happened to the players, which is something that I just can't get past. And watching the circus unfold yesterday, I'm thinking to myself, Major League Baseball, all they're asking these guys to do, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And when they walk off the stage, they walk off into the future, mm-hmm. where none of this ever happened. I don't understand how that's the outcome of this. And through all the sorries, it's like, yeah, okay, you can say these words and whether you mean it or not, what should happen here is some type of punitive action. And that's just not going to happen. It's going to happen maybe with players policing themselves. Maybe that's what it comes down to. I never championed for throwing it, guys, but just to predict what some Major League Baseball players might be doing here, that could very well happen in the MLB. And I honestly wouldn't even hold it against them. Because if Major League Baseball is not going to do anything about it and they're just going to continue to trot out these players like nothing happened, well, then, yeah, it seems like players are going to get involved.
Do you think maybe Major League Baseball is looking down the road a little bit and saying, well, these guys will get their punishment. The Altuves of the world and the Bregmans, maybe they'll get their punishment in that, like the Barry Bonds, like the Roger Clemens of the steroid era, they won't get voted into the Hall of Fame. So that'll ultimately be their punishment. Could Major League Baseball be thinking that way?
Maybe they are, although they'll get punished anyway. But if they are, that's dumb.
I agree. Well, there's nothing about this that isn't dumb,
right.
Why wouldn't you throw a little more dumbness on it?
Right, but if that's what they're thinking, that the punishment will come from elsewhere, that's going to come anyway.
Yeah.
Like, even if you suspended Bergman, Altuve, and whoever for a season or banished them from baseball, whatever it might be, like, the shame is still there. No one's going to look at it and be like, well, he did his time. Like, no. Like, nothing would award the World Series championship to the Dodgers, for instance. Like, if the right. Nationals lost to the Astros, nothing would hand that trophy back to the Nationals. You know, it's weird, but there's no reversing it, and going forward, there's no way to, I guess, from this point on, really punish these guys other than the players taking care of it. Which, again, I'm not championing that cause, but that seems to be the only real punishment that could be happening down the line. And why couldn't that happen with Major League Baseball suspending these guys, at least fining these guys, at least? Like, I thought it would have been hilarious if they would have fined them their World Series bonus check. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I watched it yesterday, and I thought, I can't believe that, like, these guys are adults here.
Yeah.
And by the way, last thing on telling another man you love him.
Yeah, last thing.
Another man told me that he loved me yesterday. I think you were just walking out of the studio as our man Anthony was coming in.
Oh, Anthony said he loved you?
Well, he asked me what adulting was.
Oh, yes.
And I said, adulting's a fun phrase. It's like you get done your chores for the day, you're running errands and whatnot, and then you go back to just being like a 15-year-old kid all over again mentally. So you do your adulting for the day.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I heard that. He's like, yeah, but I heard that. And he goes, I'm like, what does this even mean? And apparently did a riff on it on the air. And we had an expression. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you won't catch me saying that. And I was like, yeah, no big deal. He's like, hey. He goes, I love you, bro. Hey, at the end of it, I was like, love you back, brother.
He's affectionate.
Yeah, very, very affectionate.
Extremely affectionate, yes. Actually.
Yeah, because when we did the thing at
Reading Terminal.
Man, just love everywhere.
Yeah.
Anthony, and I believe Anthony really loves everybody.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big ball of love.
He can't. It's funny. He and I went to Minnesota the year the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. He can't say hi to anybody.
No.
It's not just, oh, hey, how you doing? It's, bring it in. You know, it's
coming in for the real thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's,
yeah, brace yourself. Yeah. Brace yourself. Because the
hug, love.
The hug's going to be intense.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I like it.
No, absolutely. There is an area for other love, by the way, and that love is for the Philadelphia Flyers, who took care of business last night in Florida against the Panthers. Carter Hart looking stellar, coming up with 26 saves. Flyers get the win. A lot of great things coming out of that game last night. JVR got him started with a nice little little rebound on the goal there. Pitlick had a nice little wrist shot going down the side there and put the biscuit in the basket, as they say.
That was a hell of a shot.
It was a hell of a shot. He put that through like a coin slot.
It was almost like a no-look pass in basketball. Like, it looked like he was looking far post, but he went short He went short and over the shoulder.
The young man, God, I'm going to screw this up. Abbe Kubel?
No, that's good. That's good on you.
Abbe Kubel?
Yeah.
I believe that's how you say that appropriately. He had a nice little follow-up rebound as well when he streaked through the neutral zone into the slot. Nice little tip in there for himself. JVR, of course, came up with a nice little goal, or rather a centering pass to Scott Lawton. Good to see him get on the board there with a 4-0 lead there. That's the fourth goal of the game. Coots had a goal as well. JVR got a little chippy in this game. Carter Hart came up with a huge save.
Yeah, JVR got a cheap shot at the towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did not good. Yeah, he got I don't blame him for getting chippy.
Even Jim Jackson was ready to throw down. It seemed like he was looking for the other, you know, the commentator for the other team. He wanted to go with him, like when the goalies go after each other.
Oh, it was time to party.
He said, "This is Bush League."
Is that what he said?
He did. He called it Bush League. Yeah, who do you do that with 40 seconds to go in a 4-goal game? Bush League. Yeah, I said, damn, Jim.
So now you have, you still face the Boston Bruins in the first round of the playoffs if the season ended today.
Mm-hmm.
Because last night, Trey, let's do some quick math. Last night, the Flyers went into the game with 69 points.
Yes.
And then they won, so they got two more points.
Two more points.
So now I got 71 points.
71.
So now they're in the playoffs. As of right now, they're in the playoffs. Plenty of time left to hopefully maybe move past the Bruins a little bit. They have beat the Bruins twice this year, both coming by way of the shootout. But the bottom line is the Flyers, again, granted it was against the same opponent, but two or three games have played some very exciting hockey. And we haven't been able to say that about the Flyers throughout this season. There's been spurts, there's been stretches, there's been runs of the Flyers playing some good hockey. But right now, they are playing a very exciting brand of hockey. And I love seeing that, because when you see that end-to-end, as they say in hockey, when you see that mucking and grinding and all that fun stuff, when you see that, you know you're going to have something special by the end of the year. And look, I just want to watch playoff hockey again. It feels like it's been forever. I think when Alain Vigneault was on with us months ago, he said, "Oh, no. I asked him about, you know, playoff teams. I said, I don't know if you're one for predictions or not, but, you know, the playoffs." And he said, "Oh, no, this is a playoff team." Like,
yeah.
He cut me off in the question and said, "Oh, no, this is a playoff team. We're going to get some playoff hockey this year, folks."
There
and
we go.
They seem like a team that upper echelon teams look at and say, "Oh, man, I don't want to face them." Not them.
They're a nudge.
Yeah, you know, like they're starting to take on their leader's kind of personality in Travis Konecny. They're nudges and talented as hell. He's struggling a little bit right now. I know
what's the deal, Bob?
He's a little sore.
Are you smothering him? Is that the problem?
He's okay. He'll be all right. He's just playing through something right now, but that's just between us. between us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You don't want to let us into the circle of trust right there?
Not yet. It's our Valentine's Day.
Speaking of Valentine's Day, I want to do something fun here. And Sam, I want to make this official on our Twitter poll. And I don't even want to do a Twitter poll today. I want to do a Twitter question today. I want just people to list their all-time Philadelphia sports bromances.
Oh.
I talked to Jake Elliott yesterday. He was at the auto show, Eagles kicker Jake Elliott. I got to ask him about All or Nothing, about what that was like, and, you know, would you do it again? You know, Hard Knocks. I think there might even be a layoff period once you allow cameras in the locker room in that regard. Like, for instance, Hard Knocks or All or Nothing. I think there's like a couple of years that you can't do another documentary series like
that. Right?
I think so.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I guess. It's too invasive. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I said, would you ever do that again? He's like, honestly, you do forget that the cameras are there. Like, he goes, they were doing a great job of sneaking around and getting sound. And it's like, oh, wow, they caught that? Wow, interesting. Like, it was pretty wild. But, of course, one of the big stars, and Bob, I know you haven't watched it yet. Trey, have you watched it?
I watched some of it.
So one of the big things, I don't know if you got this far yet, one of the big things in the series that they highlighted was the Jake Elliott throw, or attempt, rather, against the Minnesota Vikings in the game they lost, unfortunately.
Right.
And they show him kind of ramping up that throw in practice and him trying to get on the same page as Dallas Goedert. And Dallas is just like, hey, man, just kind of throw it up there and I'll get it. So they show maybe a series of throws where they're all underthrown. they're not very good is what I'm saying here.
Right.
So I got a chance to ask Jake Elliott about that yesterday. And he was just like, in my defense, it was just supposed to be a lob. He goes, it's the only thing I'll say to defend myself. I was like, all right. And then I said, what's the best bromance in that locker room? And if you watch All or Nothing, I think you know what it is.
I would go with Carson and Ertz.
I was going to say, that's the obvious.
Is it, though?
Off the top of your head,
It's pretty obvious. but if you watch that series, there's another bromance that's like, oh, dude, bromance galore. With these two guys.
Are they defensive?
I don't believe in hints.
Oh, we have to get
I gave you a hint. It's the show.
I haven't seen the show.
He gave us a hint saying it's on the show.
Yeah.
How's that a hint?
It's because you didn't see the show.
We didn't watch the show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shame.
I'm going to say they're offensive linemen.
They're not offensive linemen.
That's a good one, though. I know who you're thinking about.
So, all-time Philadelphia sports bromances. I was just thinking about this the other day, and like 10 just, boom, popped in my head. All-time Philadelphia sports bromances. They could be players. They could be coaches. They could be announcers. I don't know. You know?
People you crushed?
People I crushed?
No, is that how we're defining
like
bromance?
Like crushed on, like, you mean?
You crushed on, yeah. Like
mine's Chase
crushes.
Utley. Oh. Me and Chase Utley, the best bromance ever.
That's not a bromance. You're not a bro.
Well, I'm not a bro. You guys always call me one of the guys. I'm not a bro now?
Yeah, but...
For the record, I have never called you one of the guys.
You're right. It's a Trey. Trey calls me one of the guys.
I just say that you're a dude. But.
Yeah.
That's different.
I said it nicer.
So I want to get that going today on the phone lines as well as on our Twitter question today, we'll call it. And Sam, who brings us our fine Twitter question?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, we got Sean in Delaware. We're going to open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Matt Klentak addressed the media yesterday. If you heard a sound of like a boulder rolling down a hill, that was people's eyes rolling as Matt Klentak was speaking. We'll let you hear from that. We got plenty of Valentine's Day songs here, courtesy of our good friend Trey Thomas over there. And we're going to get maybe a little bit of sound going from that fine, fine Astros press conference yesterday. Time of the Fanatic, 6:23.
Hey guys, Bob Cooney here for FanDuel Sportsbook. Well, they're in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, and they are America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They've got all the bets you could want. They've got a great, easy-to-use app, new promos every day, and once you win, they get you your cash fast. And if you've been holding out on trying FanDuel Sportsbook, well, I'm telling you, right now is the time, because FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users their first bet risk-free. That means you can place any bet within 7 days of signing up, and FanDuel Sportsbook will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win. I love taking this time when the NBA is on break to look at advanced betting. That's right, I'm looking at the odds on who's going to win NBA titles, NHL titles, maybe total wins for the NFL. Take a look at those when you get a chance. And to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android. Be sure to use promo code Bob so they know we sent you. That's promo code Bob to get your first bet risk-free. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms and restrictions apply. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour on this fine Valentine's Day, brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC, for all your power generation HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. Trey, how do you want to roll these songs out today? How do you want to do the musical numbers?
I have no idea. I have no... Because, I mean, you got some of Bob music that's coming too, you know?
Gotcha.
So, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
Copy that. Yeah. We have Matt Klentak from yesterday. I'm still trying to make sense of it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like one thing that's unfortunate is that Matt Klentak does not inspire confidence. Like, Joe Girardi, and granted, he's got the greater resume and he's been around, he inspires confidence. When I listen to him, I'm like, I want to play for this guy. Like, that's one of the things that you think about when you're listening to how a guy addresses the media. And I think that's why a lot of people here pay attention to the press conferences. It's because you want to, like, would I play for this guy? Like, if I'm in the locker room, if I'm in the clubhouse, if I'm in the dressing room, am I listening to this guy? Is this guy going to grab my attention and motivate me? Joe Girardi does that. Now, Matt Klentak as a GM doesn't have to motivate you, but at least has to come off as a guy that's like, ah, at least he's not BSing me. He knows what he needs. He needs more. And, Bob, what's the number one reason that you have your doubts about the Phillies this year, about maybe not even being a 500 team?
Number one is the back end of the starting rotation.
So pitching.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you say that.
Yeah.
Because Matt Klentak yesterday, Trey, I think he thinks that their arms are just fine and dandy. Here's Klentak yesterday.
I absolutely think we have enough starting pitching and bullpen to compete. You know, we went into the offseason with a variety of different ways that we could go. And one of the things that was a big priority for us was adding to the front of our rotation. Believe me, we explored different possibilities to add multiple starters to the back of the rotation. But in our judgment, adding someone to the front of the rotation was something that was the biggest priority for us.
They got enough. They got enough to compete. Do you hear your GM right there? They have enough pitching to go. Now, here's the thing. When you say compete, does that mean in the playoffs? Does compete mean to be over 500? Because to me, compete means you're in the playoffs. That, like, competing in the regular season, competing means you're in the playoffs and you're competing for a World Series championship. You're not just competing for maybe a wild card conversation in September.
That's funny you say that, because when I listened yesterday, that was one of my first things. Someone please follow up with. Competing for what? A wild card berth? Are you competing for... Do you feel like this team can compete for a World Series?
We mean we're competing for the playoff potential.
Or are you just out there just competing?
He went Kermit the Frog there. Yeah.
That's my Matt Klentak. It may or may not resemble a little Kermit the Frog, whatever.
Or but is it Pat Mahomes?
It's all the same genre, if you will. But like, you don't. Vince Velasquez, what has he done to show you he can be your third or fourth starter? Zach Eflin having a good start to the season is the reason they didn't get Dallas Keuchel. Like, no, you don't have enough. They said they wanted to focus on a front-end starter. They got Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, as confident as I am, that he'll be better than Jake Arrieta, that's not exactly high praise. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not at all.
It didn't inspire confidence. Let's just say that. And they're not going over to luxury tax. So let's stop
asking.
There's
not a barrier there, though, Mark. It's not a barrier. It's kind of more of a guideline.
What, the luxury tax?
Oh, yeah. Because Matt Breen said, you know, that barriers. Oh, well, no, man. It's not a barrier. Let's just say it's more of a guideline.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, me neither.
Sean's got something on our 10-9-8-76ers. What's up there, Sean, Delaware?
Good morning, everybody. Let me
just
off the speaker.
Thank you. You know what, Sean, let me ask you a question. Does Matt Klentak inspire confidence?
No.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
And neither does the guy that has Fail in his last name.
Andy McPhail. I'll tell you this, Sean, about Andy McPhail. I used to say this about Andy McPhail. Like, what is it you do here? You got a cush retirement job, essentially. But here's what I've learned over the last couple of months here. Andy McPhail is kind of running the show. Do you remember when they wanted to fire Gabe Kapler? When John Middleton wanted to fire Gabe Kapler, he went to Andy McPhail and he's like, hey, I'm not so sure about this Kapler fella. And Andy McPhail said to the owner, the CEO, the managing partner, John Middleton, and said, okay, well, why don't you go out and do some homework and then come back to me and let me know, you know, maybe some other candidates that you'd want to have in here. Do you remember that at the press conference?
Yes.
Like, what the hell is that? Who tells their boss, hey, go do more work and then come back to me?
Yeah. Horrible.
What do you got on the Sixers? Well,
hey, you know, Joel Embiid told the fans that we got to do a better job. So, you know,
good point.
Get away with that, you know?
Yes, sir.
Right, Andy Reid, everyone hated him because he said, that, hey, we got to do a better job talking about him. But Joel's like, no, you got to do a better job as fans. You know, you got to be able to take it when I dish it out, too.
Right.
So I'm working on that, you know.
Oh, yeah, good. Hopefully practice is going well for you.
Yeah, Philly fans dishing it out and trying to do a better job since 1776, right?
Exactly.
But anyway, I have one quick question for the analytics crew. I understand I'm an old head, and I get the concept that if you're shooting 40% from threes, then you got to shoot better than 60% from twos, and that's nobody can do that. But the point is, most of these teams, nobody can shoot 40%. The league average is 34%. So my question is, if I had Shaquille O'Neal here right now, and he could shoot free throws, let's say as well as Joel Embiid, like somewhere in the mid-upper 70s, Who's going to guard him on the Houston Rockets? In other words, if you just said, well, here's what we're going to do in the first quarter. Every play is we're going to Shaq, and everybody clear out, and it's just going to be Shaq underneath.
Right.
And then whoever they double it to, if you had four guys spread out on the three-point line, how can you possibly double Shaq? Like, because you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shaq. And what I'm saying is Houston's saying now that three ball's the game, we don't even need a center, so they get rid of Clint Capella, and they're saying we're going with all 6'6 guys. Again, I remember when we had Dikembe Mutombo to try to stop Shaq, and he was 7'2", 300 pounds, and leaning on Shaq at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
And Shaq was still plowing through him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I don't understand. If Shaq is shooting 60% from his twos and getting fouled half the time, isn't that better than 34% at threes?
Yeah, it is, and that's why a lot of people have that conversation about Joel Embiid playing more down low. Especially against a team like the Houston Rockets, it really, you know, they don't have anybody that can match up with them. But when you're looking at that team, you're looking at the way Joel Embiid plays, I don't mind him playing away from the basket as long as he's playing the majority on the post, which is still something that he does maybe 30% of the time.
And the other thing he could do for his career, and really it's the one thing they should do that's the elephant in the room, and that is get with a nutritionist and try to change his body so that it looks like Giannis or Michael Phelps. In other words, like you're a world-class athlete, like trying to win the gold medal, so therefore that's what you should look like, and you don't. If you go back and watch film of him just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he's 20 pounds lighter, he's limber and flying up and down the court and so quick in the lane, everyone's like, oh my God, it's like Hakeem Olajuwon. Now it's like, come on, please, it's Hakeem Olajuwon at 55, you know, but not as 25.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Sean. He does look like he's lumbering a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you referenced it yesterday, Bob, the inability to jump.
Yeah.
Seems to be lacking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody correctly pointed out, he got up on that block of Marcus Morris, didn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't have quick ankles.
He doesn't have a quick jump, and he doesn't utilize it.
He doesn't explode.
He doesn't have quick ankles.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like when he's under the basket.
Like when you go up, science. Come down, or can you get back up again? Yeah.
I'm a biology major. No, but like, when he's down low, you don't see him explode. Like, you see him leap, but we don't see him, like, from a standing position, you know, kind of spring up into the air. Like, he doesn't have that spring.
Yeah.
Like, and that's an odd thing for someone who's seven foot, I guess. But a lot of times he doesn't have to do it, but you want to see him go strong up to the basket, slam it down, also get fouled for the N1. But you don't really see him spring.
Yeah, just concentrate on his release point a lot of times when he's near the basket. Is it up over the rim? Is it near the rim? Or, especially during contact, is he recoiling and bringing the ball back down and shooting the ball up towards the rim when he should be finishing at the rim?
All right, we got Anthony. He's on the road, I believe. He's got a bromance for us. Also got a Phillies prediction. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear a little bit of the Flyers last night, including a nice little way to get things going for the Flyers and their win over the Panthers. Time of the Fanatic is 642. And you know what? It's no secret I am Philly proud. And ladies and gentlemen, you should be too. Parks Casino and Sportsbook is the way to be Philly proud. They are run by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania. Not overseas, not out of town, just right up I-95 from Philadelphia in the Delaware Valley, right in Bucks County. Secure, safe, easy to bet on all the sports, bet on the sports legally, and also have fun while making some money while you watch all the games. And this week, there's a full slate of Fly Boys hockey. You got some college hoops. You got the All-Star game. So many ways to wager on all the sports with point spreads, props, parlays, teasers, even in-game live betting. So many Philly sports fans have already joined me betting with the hometown team and my team at Parks Casino and Sportsbook right here in the Delaware Valley. Download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app now or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use my promo code FANATIC and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Yeah, $500. Your risk-free bet is refunded as a free bet in account credit. See website for complete details and use my promo code FANATIC and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yeah.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, I got to hear JVR's goal from the other night. We're going to let you guys hear from last night, excuse me. Flyers again in the playoff hunt. Coming up in the next hour, around 7:25, maybe. A little, I don't know if it's a snafu, but when you offer constructive criticism, you're not a Twitter gangster, but offer constructive criticism on social media.
Right.
And it turns out there's a wee bit of a twist to it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did it turn out badly?
Oh, no, it was cool.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I ain't saying anything wrong.
No, it's constructive criticism.
Oh, it was Trey.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been. I don't want to say it was Trey.
This is one of the better stories that we had this week.
This is a fun little curveball. Some might even say a misstep, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you know.
But again, this is how people need to conduct themselves on social media. It's not the way you did it, Trey, is not in a way of, you're an idiot and I'm right. It's a way of, allow me to instill knowledge upon you.
And that's all I did.
And that's it. And it wasn't in a smug or arrogant way, as some people try to approach it on the old Twitterverse.
No.
Hey, this is coming from a position of knowledge.
I didn't have to just throw in that, hey, man, I started over 180-something games and, you know, maybe have taken over, maybe, I don't know, 10 million pass sets. Who needs that?
Nobody.
No, I didn't need to pat myself on the back.
You merely said you played the position.
Like Tobias, toot my own horn. Nobody needs to do that.
No.
Tobias, by the way, may or may not be one of our bromances on the list.
Maybe
one of our top bromances.
Yeah, he definitely is.
I think he has to be.
Yeah.
I think he has to be. Do you have JVR's goal there, Sam? Here's JVR getting things started last night for the Flyers.
Out of the box, Josh Brown. Flyers get to it. Good job by Farabee to create the turnover. Plays it out to the blue line. Point to point. This is going to be the shot. Rebound. They score! James Van Riemsdyk was in front. The Flyers poked at it and get it behind Bobrovsky. Right after the power play expires, Philadelphia takes the 1-0 lead on Van Riemsdyk's 17th of the year.
There you go for JVR. Nice little follow-up. Nice little rebound right in the back of the net. And it was all Flyers pretty much after that. 6 goals last night for the Flyers. What is that, 10 against the Panthers in the last 2 games?
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. And they fought a little bit against the Islanders. It was a little too late for them. But a lot of different Flyers getting on the board last night. So it was a great win for them. Robert Haig also with a power play goal.
Yeah.
Late in that game, so that was good to see. You had Carter Hart back in net again. His first road win since November.
I couldn't believe that when I heard it last night. I know he struggled on the road, as we all did, but I didn't know it was since November.
And just not for nothing, Bob, the goals against average, still slightly north of 250.
Yeah, what is it right now,
254.
Uh-huh.
As they say in hockey, 254. And that's where he's at right now.
That's how they say it in hockey?
Mostly.
Is that because of lack of teeth?
It would come off 254.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
You don't watch Curb, do you, Bob?
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it this year yet, but yes.
Okay. There's a good episode where they have a little bit of a lisp. It actually reminds me of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside a little bit.
It does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's get to Anthony. Anthony, what's going on, man?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning. So with the Phillies, I'm predicting around 86 wins.
I think that is fair.
Do you think that's enough to get in the playoffs?
No.
Not even a wild card.
It's enough to be. Here's what it is. And I want to advance past this, but this is what it is. It is enough to play meaningful games in September. That's what it is. It's not enough to win the wild card. It's enough to play to get meaningful games.
So you think we'll be in the position to either make a run or get close enough?
Yeah, I do. I think this team will play meaningful games in September, but we don't want that. We want playoffs. Like, it's not going to be enough for me to be, you know, for watching the Eagles and the Phillies in September and going, oh, yeah, the Phillies are still in it. Like, no, I want to feel like this team is at least going to make a wild card.
Well, last year we were predicting division.
Last year, I thought at best you get a division. I thought that the Braves were going to be the bigger foe to the Phillies. It turns out that was the Nationals. Phillies, actually, I think they were one game over 500 against the Braves last year, if I'm not mistaken. But the Nationals were the team that was really the thorn in your side. The Marlins were the team that was the thorn in your side as well. The Braves, they were able to handle, you know, hold their own. The Nationals blew them out of the water, and the Marlins blew them out of the water. So I knew it was going to be a tough road to win the division, but I thought they'd at least get a wild card.
Yeah, I think last year really tainted our high hopes, but I got high hopes this year.
Good. Well, 86 wins. That's what you're predicting.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you have a bromance for me, Anthony?
Yeah, Travis Konecki this year, 2020.
You can't have him.
He's taken.
Wait, hold on a second.
Sorry, Anthony. People are
so excited for playoff hockey.
But that's thanks for the call. That's not a bromance.
Define your bromance. And I was
that's a one-sided bromance.
Yeah, bromance is not.
You're talking about mutual.
Yeah, I'm talking about like if you would have said TK and like Drew, for instance.
Yeah, it's not our bromance. It's players' bromance that you like through the years.
Although I did. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I did say that it could be a broadcaster. Maybe it's two broadcasters.
Ah. Could it be a broadcaster and a player?
For the purposes of this, yes, absolutely.
I don't have one in mind, but I will think of
one. Oh, boy, I do. You don't know, Sam?
Tony Romo and Buck? Or Aikman?
No, it's not those two. But, you know, it can be somebody that perhaps even just speaks into a microphone on this very program.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Let's get to Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, man.
I just wanted to call in. I heard a caller calling earlier about comparing Joel Embiid to Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I really don't think that's a fair comparison. I understand that they're both big men in the league, and they got similar size, I guess, but you got to look at Giannis from, like, just his upbringing and all that. He sent money home to the point where he didn't have any money. He couldn't get to the games. He had to ride a bicycle to the arena, and he was running to the games. People picked him up and took him to the arena, like fans going to the game. Taxi drivers did that, going to the game. That has never happened with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, he does endorsement deals.
We can't compare Embiid and Giannis because Giannis used to take cabs to the game, Ed? Is that where we're going? Listen.
Yes.
I'm just saying that Giannis, he doesn't. There was a tweet or an Instagram post I saw come out. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. Said Giannis has been completely denying commercials, endorsement deals, all that stuff because he's just focused on winning. You've never seen any of that with Joel Embiid. He's on Hulu talking about Hulu has live sports. Listen, now I love Joel Embiid. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Philly fan till the day I die, but. I just think they have different mindsets. I think they have different motivation behind them. I don't think you'll ever see Joel Embiid with that speed and the same body type and fitness level that Giannis has. I think they can both be great players. I think Giannis has that step above him in his fitness and all that and his health.
Isn't Giannis with Nike? I think I saw him in a Beats by Dre commercial too. Like,
yeah, he did something with some headphones.
No,
JBL.
Okay.
JBL?
This season.
Yeah, no, this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's...
And hold on a second. Let's go back to your first call. So, wait, he would ride his bike to school? Yeah, he's hitchhiking? He's thumbing it?
Well, he didn't have any money. He sent all of his money home to his family or his mom, where I think in Greece, wherever they were from.
Okay.
And he didn't have any money. He sent all his money home. He didn't have any money from his rookie deal.
Okay, so, Bob, why isn't Joel Embiid giving all his money to
Giannis' family?
To Giannis'
family? I'm not knocking him for that. I understand you got to budge and do that, but I'm just saying that... I think Giannis has a different motivation, different mindset behind him than Joel Embiid does. And I don't think Joel Embiid
Far different players. Giannis is more of like Ben Simmons. Like Giannis wants to kill you on the court.
Yeah.
Joel wants to really have fun. I don't fault him for wanting to have fun as long as that doesn't get in the way of being great. Like the other night, he put all the BS aside and he just played great because he was focused because of the extracurriculars, because he BS'd a lot and that motivated him.
I think when you look at Giannis, he's the one that, when you say it, always has that Mamba mentality.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
And that's kind of just what I wanted to say. I just didn't agree with the caller where he was saying, I think if you get some nutritionist, him and Giannis can be around like the same person. I was just thinking to myself that they're similar, but they're not the same person.
Oh, no, absolutely. And thanks for the call, man. I don't think anyone's saying they're the same player or want them. Like, I would love that type of mindset, but I don't think Joel Embiid needs a nutritionist like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he might need a mental strength coach. Like somebody like that to get his mind right for games, to get him focused on games, to not need to poke the bear of the fans in order to get focused. Like I have no doubt in my mind that he needed that. We've been saying it for a week now. I have no doubt that Joel Embiid needed to create something, whether that was become a heel to the fans or whatever it was. He needed to do something that would put him back in the spotlight, and he needed to do something that would motivate him, and that's what did it.
And it's as simple as one play the other night, okay? So he gets into the little, what do you call it, Trey?
Kerfuffle, yes.
Okay, with Marcus Morris, right? So that happens. There's a break in the action because they have to take 20 minutes to decide it's a double technical, which we knew it was going to be from the very beginning. But then Marcus Morris in the next series comes down and tries to go in for a layup. And what does Embiid do?
He blocks it.
Blocks it like nobody's been, like he wanted to flatten the ball. You can't tell me that wasn't a direct retaliation to what had just happened because he was pumped up. He had in his mind, I got to do this. Imagine if that fire was lit every game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, and I'm not saying it's a problem, but it's something that if Joel Embiid can learn to manufacture that from himself more often, as opposed to having to come out on social media, as opposed to getting into a fight or needing these things to light the fire. If he can light it himself, my God, it's unbelievable what this guy could do.
Yeah, and that's what really bothers you sometimes, is that you know how good he can be when he's properly motivated by really dumb stuff. That's the type of player that we watch in Joel Embiid.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.